It is noon, and you've got it tuned to 104.3 and 104.7 KHUM. Cutting Eureka Arcata in Humboldt State University. Streaming on the web, khum.com. Translator K2A280 Ferndale. My name is Lindsay, and it is time for Not For Kids Only here on KHUM. Not For Kids Only is sponsored by the kind folks of CASA of Humboldt, also Om Shala Yoga, the Humboldt County Library, and North Coast Regional Child Support Services. Joining me today for Not For Kids Only, we have a special, special guest on account of it being Pi Day. Oh yes, Starfish agrees. On account of it being Pi Day, Jeff Haig, who is a professor of mathematics up at Humboldt State University. You've been here before talking pi.
Hi everybody, yes, it's great to be back at KHUM down in Ferndale with Lindsay, you and your dog Starfish, who's going to protect us, take care of us.
But yeah, she's making sure that no one messes with us while you are here to explain pi. And you're going to give us some fun things that we can do as families to learn about pi.
I hope so. I mean, everybody thinks of pi, you know, the berry or the pumpkin, or if you like lemon meringue or chocolate. But no, this pi, which I was told by a student of mine who was from Greece, that we say it wrong here. It's P, P-I-P. It is, in fact, the Greek letter P. They draw it really cool. They draw two legs and then a wiggly thing on top. But it's the symbol P or pi that denotes a number a little bit more than 3. Do you know where this number 3.14, that's why we celebrate it on March 14th, but it really goes 3.1415. It goes on forever. The decimals never repeat. There's no pattern to it. It wouldn't be right to say that pi is infinite. Pi is between 3 and 4. It's closer to 3. But the decimal representation never ends. To get pi perfectly, you just have to say pi. If you try with 3.14159265 ... you won't get there. But I'm wondering, I'm curious, I'm going to ask you, and then maybe our readers will, our listeners will also get their interest piqued. But do you know where this number that's a little bit more than 3 comes from?
No, I was going to ask you actually when you were talking about that, where does the number pi come from? I mean, originally, who figured it out?
Well, who figured it out, I don't think anyone can say. It is sometimes known as Archimedes' constant. You may remember Archimedes of ancient Greece, a brilliant engineer and mathematician. He's perhaps most famous for his discovery of the principle of buoyancy. Legend has it that he was in his bathtub when he made this discovery, and he was so thrilled that he jumped up out of the tub and ran into the streets shouting, "Eureka! I've discovered it!" But anyway, pi is known as Archimedes' constant because he popularized it, he studied it, he was able to show that it was less than 3 1/7, but more than 3 + 10/71. That's a tight window, and he showed that pi was in there. But where? What is it? Do you have any idea? Do you see all the circular things that I brought today?
Yeah, it is the number that we use to look at the circumference of something.
Good.
Right?
Good. That's a great start. It is related to the circumference. In fact, if you think about a circle, the circumference is also the perimeter. Hence the letter P. The distance around a circle is less than the distance across. Do you know what we call the distance across?
Diameter?
The diameter. So the diameter is less than the circumference. Now, I could describe a couple of pictures that will show you that the circumference is between 2 diameters and 4 diameters. That is, if you measure the distance around, it's greater than 4 diameters. Sorry, I had that backwards. It's greater than 2 diameters, but less than 4 diameters. So you think, oh, The circumference must be exactly three diameters, and it's not. It's just a little more. And so where the number pi came from is, it is the number of diameters that will make one full circumference in a circle. Okay, so pi times the diameter will equal the circumference of a circle. Now, one of the things you talked about, maybe you want to have our listeners do something at home. You see that I brought some items, Lindsay. What am I holding in my hand?
You did. You brought what I think are toilet paper rolls or cut-up paper towel rolls.
These are the little cylinders that toilet paper comes wrapped around. And the flimsier one I brought from home. When we ran out of toilet paper at home, I saved this cylinder. And the other ones I brought from work because it's a more stout, harder cardboard cylinder. But at the end of the cylinder, you know, it's a circular cylinder. And so I'd ask you, if you don't mind, if you would measure, and I got a ruler in inches or a ruler in centimeters, if you would measure the height of this cylinder that I got at work.
Okay.
Just measure the height.
Measuring the height of the cylinder.
Inches or centimeters.
We'll do centimeters because, you know, I'm a fan of the metric system.
It is 2019. we all should be fans of the metric system.
So it measures 10, roughly 10 and a half.
10 and a half centimeters. Cm? Okay. Now, can you measure the diameter?
The diameter of this is about roughly 4.5. Would you like precise measurements?
CMs?
Yes.
Okay. No, that's fine.
Okay.
So you said it's about 10 and a half centimeters tall. And about 4.5 centimeters across.
Correct.
So my question is what's longer, the circumference of this, the wrapped around circumference, or the height? What's longer?
What is longer?
What do your eyes tell you just by looking
at it? Well, my eyes tell me that the cylinder is taller probably than the circumference, just because the circumference, because I'm looking really at the diameter of the top of the circle. But since the pi thing, I know that the height of the cylinder is actually smaller than the circumference.
And that is not intuitively clear just from looking at the cylinder when it's wrapped up. Now, the one from my toilet paper that we use at home is clearly longer and has a smaller radius, right?
Right.
So if anything, you would think this one has a chance of being taller than the distance around, the circumference of this little flimsy piece of cardboard. So why don't you make the same measurements on this, if you don't mind?
We're measuring toilet paper roll number 2. And that's, I would give it about 11.5 centimeters tall.
Okay.
And the diameter looks to be about 4.5 centimeters.
So the diameter times pi will equal that distance around. So what was the diameter again?
The diameter was 4.5.
And so let's, rather than multiply by pi, let's just multiply that by 3.
Yeah, it's actually, let's do 4.
No. We're going to do 3 to be conservative because it's closer. Oh, I see. You're saying it's 4 across?
Four centimeters across for toilet paper roll number 2.
And how tall?
And 11.5 centimeters tall.
So if that diameter was roughly 4, and we multiply by roughly pi, that would be 3 is close enough, we would get?
12.
And therefore, the circumference should be
greater
than
the height.
Right. And this is the one that's made out of thin cardboard, and I brought a pair of scissors. So we're just going to lay it out. We're going to make this cylinder into a rectangle.
Okay.
And we're going to see that distance around is longer. You can tell by looking at it, right?
Yeah.
And you have to admit that's, maybe counterintuitive or a surprise.
Trying to measure it. The board is getting in the way. Yeah, about 12.5 centimeters
circumference. And then that height was about 12, right?
It was 11.5, yes.
11.5. So
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just one little demonstration that the it takes pi diameters. And if you do have a full circumference with a roll of toilet paper, believe it or not, the circumference on that cylinder is longer than that height.
So that's a fun thing for kids that kids could do at home.
They could.
To play around with pi and to talk about pi.
Right.
And you've also brought some other, what did you call them, weapons of math instruction?
I brought weapons of math instruction. And it would be great if people would be able to see what I'm doing here, but instead I'll try to describe what you might do to understand this inequality that we put on pi. So I'd ask listeners to maybe draw a square. You draw a square. And then at the center of the square, draw a circle that just fits in that square. So your circle inside your square is going to touch in four places. Now, good for you, Lindsay. You're making this drawing.
I'm doing it.
All right. So you see how your circle touches the square in four places, right?
Yes. All right.
So if you label one of those points where the circle touches the square point A,
okay.
And the point directly across from it, let's label that point B. Okay?
Okay.
And if you connect AB, what do we call that line?
The diameter.
Good. That's the diameter of the circle. Do you also see that the diameter equals the side length of your square?
I do see that.
Okay. Good. So now what we're going to do is imagine a little bug who's going to run from A and somehow get to B and then back to A. And we're going to go on, let's say, three different routes. So let's go from A straight across to B and back. That's a trip of two diameters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, instead of starting at A and going straight across to B, let's go around the square. So start at A, you go up one side and then over, drop down to B, keep going around that square. Now, remember, the side length on the square is one diameter. So your trip there was
four diameters.
Okay. So now we're going to take the Goldilocks route. To go from A to B and then back to A is to go around the circle.
Okay.
And the important thing here is that you're traveling now the circumference of the circle, which is, I hope you see from the other trips that the bug took, the circumference is between two diameters and four diameters. It's between those two. And it's natural to think that, therefore, the circumference should be three diameters. It's desirable. It would seem right.
And logical.
It's not
but it's
right.
It's not.
And the way to show that that distance, that the number of diameters in the circumference is more than three, is to inscribe a hexagon in your circle. Now, this is a little tricky, but you've got your points A and B.
Right.
All right. You know, a hexagon is a six-sided polygon like the honeycomb that the bees make. Each little cell where they drop their honey in is a hexagon, right? So imagine a hexagon that barely fits inside the circle.
See, okay.
You can't draw that.
So.
Remember, six sides. Oh, you made a nice drawing. Now, that was all just based on my voice. So I hope you guys are trying this at home.
Yeah.
But what's interesting.
I'm with it.
Is go from one of the vertices of your hexagon, one of the corners, and draw the line segment to the middle, to the center. Now do it on the rest of them. And what you're drawing now are equilateral triangles. So your triangles, if they're equilateral, it means all the side lengths are the same. That means one of the edges of your hexagon is equal to a radius of the circle. Do you see that? The radius of your circle, which is the distance from the center to the circle, is equal to the side length of the hexagon.
Whoa.
You can see it right here.
I do see that.
From the awesome cardboard display I got from the people at the race earlier today. Yeah, this is to promote Rumiano cheese. We had someone there from the either Johnson or Johnston Dairy here in Ferndale.
I'm not sure.
Okay, a young man from, I'm going to say the Johnston Dairy, but he loaned me his hexagon and his equilateral triangle. And what I'm getting at is the distance from the center, which is the center of our square and our circle and our hexagon, the distance from the center out to the edge of the circle is one of the side lengths of your triangle, and that's equal to one of the side lengths of your hexagon. Okay. Now, the radius is half the diameter.
Right.
If we let our bug take that trip around the hexagon, right. Every two edges is a diameter. Every two edges is a diameter. And so that bug gets to move the distance three diameters, which you see is shorter than the circumference. So the circumference is not three diameters. It's about 3.14159 ... diameters.
Okay. Wow. That's a really cool way of looking at pi.
No, I don't know what else. You know, there's a lot of cool ways to look at pi. One of the fun things that people do enjoy is memorizing as many digits as they can. Take it out to 20 places, you have my respect. Take it out to 50 places, I've never done that myself. Take it out to 100 places. Well, I have a colleague that was able to do that, and he's been out of high school for a long time, and he did it based on memories he had from doing it in high school. He took pi correctly out to 100 places. It's just a fun mental challenge. There's really no need for people to know pi to 100 places other than because they can. I looked up the record. Actually, it was a year ago when I looked up the record. But do you have any idea what it is?
Of how many places of pi someone has memorized the maximum number?
Yes. That's my question.
I don't know. People are amazing.
People are crazy amazing.
I would guess 300.
300 places?
Yes.
The largest number of decimal digits of pi verified by the Guinness Book of World Records was 70,000.
What?
It took an Indian man 10 hours
to recite it.
To recite it, and he had to do so blindfolded.
And
it was confirmed by Guinness Book. His name was Rajveer Meena. He was 21 years old. He did it about 3 years ago. I think he did it on Pi Day in 2015, which was a special Pi Day, by the way, because it was 3/14, so March 14th, 1/5, because 2015, that's five accurate digits of pi. And so in 2015, he pulled this off. There is a man who claims that he got to over 111,000 places. He was a retired Japanese engineer who was 71 years old.
Wow.
That wasn't verified. And one of my favorite quotes about memorizing digits of pi was a famous mathematician and logician, philosopher, and author. His name was Douglas Hofstadter. And Hofstadter said, "My never attained ambition was to reach the spot 762 digits out in the expansion of pi where it goes 999999, six nines in a row, where I could recite out loud the six nines and say, and so on." We've never found a pattern. I doubt if we will.
That's pretty amazing. Well, thank you so much, Jeff Haig, for coming in and talking about pi today here on Not For Kids Only. Did you have more you wanted to add?
Kids, I'm going to give you one more.
Okay.
I have so much more. I would say keep studying what you love. If it's mathematics and science, then that's great. If it's philosophy and art and music, that's great. But think about this. Take the number 4, which is the same as 4 divided by 1, right? 4. Okay. Now, let's subtract 4 over 3 and add 4 over 5. Then subtract 4 over 7 and add, Lindsay?
4 over
9.
Okay.
And then subtract
4 over 9.
Well, we're doing the odds.
I'm sorry. So our denominator. I wasn't following you at first.
All right. So I think our users, some of them will be familiar with the sequence of positive odd numbers. They go 1, 3,
5, 7, 9,
11,
13,
15,
17,
and so on.
Okay.
Okay. Now, if we alternate adding and subtracting 4 over 1 minus 4 over 3 plus 4 over 5 minus 4 over 7 plus 4 over 9 minus 4 over 11 and continue forever. That's what it would take to get pi exactly.
Wow.
That process will produce pi. Slowly. It's not a fast way of getting at pi. There exist faster ways. But that'll come out pi.
Crazy.
Isn't it?
That is, yeah. It is crazy. So infinitely, you would do that. At what point do you start to get closer and closer to pi?
Immediately.
Oh.
Every step of the way gets you closer. I mean, 4 is a horrible approximation of pi. It's just off. But if you take 4 minus 4 thirds, now you're at, what would that be, 8 thirds? So that's 2 and 2 thirds. That's not very good either. So we better add the 4 fifths and then subtract the 4 sevenths and then add the 4 ninths. And every step gets us closer. Again, slowly. It's not the best way to go at pi. I think it might be one of the most beautiful. It's a simple, easy pattern. And mathematicians take delight in simple, easy patterns.
Nice. Well, thanks so much again, Jeff Haig from HSU Department of Mathematics for coming in today on Pi Day to talk with us about pi and some fun stuff that we can do with our families to talk about pi and learn a little bit more. The toilet paper thing was super fun. I bet there are other things in your home, too, that you could play around with and cut up and estimate.
Yeah, be careful. Make sure you have the folks' permission to get the scissors out and go after pieces. But paper plates are always good. Yeah,
there's all kinds of things that you can, that your eyes might play tricks on you about when it comes to the circumference versus how that relates to another straight line that you can see.
Indeed.
Well, thanks so much for coming in.
I'm glad. I wish I could stay longer. I look forward to, you know, reading about pi in the newspaper. You know, Pi Day has been celebrated since 1988. It became a national holiday only after the year 2000, but so rather recent. But it started in San Francisco with the curator of the Exploratorium.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, he was a great guy who loved to promote mathematics and science and decided that on March 14th at 1:59 p.m., in the Exploratorium, everybody that's there, and this is in 1988, is going to parade around in a circle. And after they parade around in a circle, they're going to sit down and eat pie. And that's how Pi Day got started.
Oh, cool.
Yep.
I did not know that.
I didn't know it until recently.
Well, thanks so much for coming in. I feel like you are a wealth of knowledge in a lot of ways, but you know a heck of a lot about pi. And do you know of any good pi resources as far as folks who are maybe looking to learn more?
Well, the internet is your friend.
Yeah.
And from Wikipedia to pi, there's PIDAY.org now has a site. So Pi Day has really caught on. And you'll learn a lot. You'll learn cool things like, well, you remember that drawing I had you make?
Right.
And if you draw, you connected A and B, if you draw the other line perpendicular to that through the center, you'll see four little squares, right? So your big square chopped up into four equal size squares. And you see that that takes up more area than the circle. The square is a little bigger in area than the circle. The square is four times r squared. Do you see that your little square is r by r, mm-hmm. and there's four of them. So you have four r squareds making up the square. The area of that circle is pi r squareds. And I know I'm not supposed to say pi r squared because pi r round. But pi times the square of the radius is the formula for the area of a circle of radius r. Tells me how much pizza sauce I'm going to need or how much crust I'm going to need. I need to know the area of circles.
Yeah.
So.
And we wouldn't be able to do that without pi or p.
P. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much, Jeff Haig, for joining us for Not For Kids Only today. That's going to wrap it up. I wanted to give a shout out to our sponsors once more, those being the folks at Casa of Humboldt, the Humboldt County Library, Om Shala Yoga, and also the folks at North Coast Regional Child Support Services. So we'll let them say a few words. We do have some live music coming up in just a little while here. We're going to be hearing music from the Stallions on KHOM. So stick around. That'll be coming up soon for Local Lunch.